Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Good evening, everybody. My name's Alon, and I'm with Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We've also got Nate and Julie.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. This first segment is going to be running a little bit quick because I have a ton of stuff that I need to cover.
So much stuff to talk about.
Yeah. First of all, though, we always like to start off the show talking about what we've been playing. I have been playing The Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which is incredible. And
very destructible.
Yeah, and destructible. Everybody seems to like this game, and I certainly agree. I don't know if it would hold its own, like, long term, because really it's just a lot of smashing stuff.
You get extra powers. It's cool.
But it's a whole lot of smashing stuff, and that's fun. Have you played this game, Julie?
I have not played that game yet.
Man.
Car gauntlets. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I love the car gauntlets.
You can pick
I have actually this week been playing Harvest Moon on the GameCube, which is probably surprising considering the game is maybe built for a little bit younger audience, but I'm actually really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Which, well, I don't know if that's scary or cool.
No, it's cool. What's weird is that it's kind of an older game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's an older one, and I picked it up, and, you know, it's cute. It just, I don't know. It is a little bit slow, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. See, speaking of older games, Nate has discovered a game this week.
Well, I played at the GDC when they were showing off the PSP. So I've been playing Luminous at my friend Heather's place a lot every time I'm there,
yeah.
And I'm there a lot.
He finally discovered a game that everybody else knew about a few
forever.
Years ago. But honestly, I haven't played it that much either.
Yeah,
I
it's need to get more really time fun.
That's it.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's exceedingly hard.
Yeah, see,
I keep thinking it's Tetris. I want to make lines. I'm like, oh, that doesn't work.
I keep talking about
how... Yeah, see, Tetris is cooler, though. Maybe I just like the old school, but...
I like the dynamic music about Luminous. The best.
Yeah, the music's cool, but I don't know.
The music is part of the game, and that's what makes it neat. And I keep telling you I want you to play Rez. And it's made by the same guy.
Yeah.
It's all very musical, too. So you can tell why I want you to play it, because it's such a good game. And I think we'll finally be able to play it soon, because we found someone who has a copy of it.
For the Dreamcast?
Yeah, the Dreamcast. This is going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's move on. I wanted to let people know, hopefully we have some listeners who found out about us because of their frequenting Dungeons & Dragons forums.
Giving
because,
away some beta slots.
Yeah, apparently these things are hard to find. We didn't realize.
Not even giving them away yet. We are like the sole source for these.
I didn't realize how rare these were, but we have Dungeons & Dragons online beta slots that we're going to give away. We're actually giving away four this week, two of them on the show today, and then two to podcast listeners who email us during the week. So stay tuned for that. We're going to do it towards the end of the show. Keep listening, and we'll cover that, how to call in and what questions you need to answer and all that. But it's going to be really simple. So definitely keep listening, and you can hopefully leave today knowing that you have a beta slot for D&D, which I believe you can start playing right away as soon as you download the game.
Yeah, it's in beta.
Yeah, you're ready to go today. So anyway, that's awesome. Now, some other things I want to talk about. You guys hear our commercials about UAT. They're awesome. I graduated from UAT. Nate goes there right now.
Yes.
They support us, and we love them. And we need support from all our listeners now. In an effort to continue the show into, you know, forever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. We
End
have
of time.
Partnered up with marketing folks, and they have told me that we need to get marketing demographics info and all that jazz. Otherwise, we're going to die. The show might not live in, another 5 years.
No.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been on for like 10 years now.
Oh.
And we want another 10.
65 years, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm on my 15th year already. So we want it to go on forever, but we're going to need your help. So this week I'm going to be posting a survey online as soon as I figure out how to actually make a dynamic web page. And I'm actually very serious about this. If anybody listening
cares. Yeah, if you could please fill it out.
If you care about the show, please take a look at the webpage and fill out that survey, because it will certainly
help us. The more people that fill it out can only help the show.
Exactly. It may very well mean the difference between life and death.
Yes.
For the entire planet Earth. So you should go check that out and help us, because we need the help. Now, last week we had, on a totally different note, we had someone call in and talk about In the Groove. And it reminded me how much I love the dance games and that this game's out for PS2. So I'm trying to put together a contest where you can win some In the Groove stuff. And I talked to the people at Red Octane. They're the source for In the Groove products. Even though you can buy it in stores, Red Octane is actually the publisher of this game, and they also make dance pads. They make the incredible $100 Ignition dance pad.
Really nice. They're going to give us some stuff.
They're talking about giving us Ignition dance pads and copies of the game. I don't know how much of what, but stay tuned next couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to give you some of those in addition to the beta stuff we're giving away today. It's all prizes all the time here at Chatterbox.
Everything must go.
We call it the treasure box. Now, later in the show today, after our break, which is coming up in a few minutes, we are going to bring on Seth and Stacy from 8-Bit Weapon. That's a musical duo, I dare say a band, maybe, that does, like, video game-esque music. It's not video game soundtracks, but it sounds like video game soundtracks.
Sounds like it, yeah.
And it's really cool. So we're going to close this segment with a clip from one of their songs. Hopefully you'll like it, and call in if you want to talk to them. All you got to do to call in is call 866-536-1100. That's toll-free for anybody in the U.S. Also, we finally lined up an interview with Gabe and Tycho for October 2nd. Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade. This is a huge one we've been working on trying to get them for like a year and a half now. And hopefully our listeners will appreciate the fact that they'll be on the air and willing to talk to anyone who calls in, again, at 866-536-1100. So we're going to have them on next month. And so now I want to move on to a little promo bit. I have a friend who works for EA, and he's been working with Criterion, the producers of Burnout 4, which is really going to be a great game. I got to play some of it at E3, and Criterion does not produce crap. So here's Dave from Electronic Arts. I know that Andrew's going to put Dave on the phone for me. There he is, Dave.
How's it going?
Excellent. I'm glad you're with us. So you've joined us today to talk about Burnout 4, right?
Burnout Revenge, yeah.
Burnout Revenge. See, I was trying to remember, is Burnout Revenge like one of the ones that's already out, or is it number 4? But I guess obviously it's number 4. So tell me, what makes Burnout 4 different than the previous ones?
So what we did in Burnout 3 Takedown last year was we kind of started with the concept of fighting. We brought that into the Burnout franchise, and it was a big success. Everybody loved it. Everybody loved the Road Rage mode, which is basically all you did was take down other cars. So with Burnout Revenge, what we decided to do was make it a full-on battle racing game. So we've included this concept of fighting and battling throughout the entire game. So it's not just about one game mode of Road Rage. You can now use things like check traffic, and what I mean by that is, you know, not so much looking back and over your shoulder and checking traffic literally, but rather using body checking kind of from hockey to really propel traffic cars going the same direction as you and using those as a weapon to hit other cars.
And will we still have the... Well, we still have the slowdown effects so we can watch it all happen. All right, cool.
Yeah, so if you get taken out or if you crash, there's definitely aftertouch. We've also added a crash breaker in race mode. So later on, if you advance past rank 5, you'll get to do crash breaker events like crash breaker eliminator, crash breaker road rage. So if you crash, you can kind of steer your car in the slow-mo aftertouch and then wait for someone to come and then detonate your car and take them out with you.
Oh, man. See, I really like that feature, but I know in Burnout 3 you couldn't do that with multiplayer. Have they figured out a way to integrate that into multiplayer?
Yeah, so if you can go up online, you can play split screen. You know, all the multiplayer modes are there. You can't do traffic attack on online right now, but you know, maybe that's coming in the future. Little hint there, but you know,
Burnout
definitely
5.
You know, road rage, crash mode, you know, eliminator, race mode, all the modes that you've known and loved, modified slightly. It's definitely enhanced. We fixed our whole online lobbying system where it's a lot more. Like a famous first-person shooter from a company called Microsoft.
The Halo 2 game.
There you
go. I've heard of that.
Yeah, because that really does have a lot of great online functionality.
Oh, it's great.
All right, so all the modes in the new Burnout are going to be available online, right?
Except for Traffic Attack.
Oh, wait, yeah, you said that, Traffic Attack. Now, what makes Traffic Attack so special and different from the other ones?
So Traffic Attack is cool because it's kind of like a cross between Road Rage and Crash Mode. So you're basically up against the clock, and depending on, you know, how far you are in the game, you start with a certain amount of time. And then basically you're trying to race down the track and crash as many cars as possible until your car explodes. So once you get under 20 seconds, every car you hit turns into a time extension as well as points.
Oh, kick ass.
So you're really kind of fighting for your life under that 20-second mark.
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Cool.
Now, see, I guess that's because that's more of like a single-player style game, so that's why you wouldn't offer it online, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're currently working on ways to put that online, and you know, maybe with future versions of Burnout Revenge that might be coming out, you know, you might see a Traffic Attack there.
So are you trying to say they have plans for downloadable content for Burnout?
There's no plans for downloadable content on the current gen.
Okay. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Interesting that you say that on the current generation. All right. Now, is there anything else about the game that you wanted to tell us, that you're allowed to tell us?
Well, the game comes out on Tuesday, so pretty much everyone will be seeing for themselves what it's all about. It really is a great game. It's been a lot of fun to work on. There's two kind of secret unlockables that we've put in the game this year for fans of Burnout and also people who check out Madden. So one thing is, we have the demo of Burnout Revenge on Madden NFL 06 for PS2 and Xbox, and if you actually have a Madden save, you can actually unlock the Madden Challenge Van. So you'll start a new profile. It'll look at your save games. If it finds a Madden save, you get to unlock the Madden Challenge Van. And also, if you have a Burnout 3 takedown save, you'll unlock the Dominator Assassin, which is a crash car.
Wow. So you can play as a van from Madden?
You can play as it's a short bus version of the Madden Challenge bus from
this
year.
Whose idea was that?
Sorry?
Whose idea was that?
I hear it's a good idea for someone in our marketing department.
Oh. Marketing guy's coming up with ideas. All right. Thank you very much, Dave. We're about to go to break. I appreciate you calling in and telling us about the game. I got to remind everybody, I played it, and it was a lot of fun, and I certainly encourage everyone to pick it up on Tuesday. I'm sure it'll be available everywhere, and probably a lot of you have even pre-ordered it. So thanks a lot, Dave, for calling in. I appreciate it. All right, so now I'm going to play a little bit of music called Panty Raid from 8-Bit.
We were loving this at the house.
It's called Panty Raid. We're going to go to break after that, and then we'll bring on Seth and Stacy from 8-Bit Weapon.
They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Man, I love that.
Very good song.
I've got sexy panties in my pants. Or I don't have
no
sexy
one has
panties
sexy panties in
my panty
drawer.
Oh, that's
yeah,
good
I
stuff.
Had my glow sticks out over here. I was getting into it.
It's good stuff. All right, so that was a clip from 8-Bit Weapon, who we will bring on in just a second. I do want to remind everybody that UAT.edu is the place to go if you want to learn how to get in the industry.
The art, the programming.
They make this show possible.
Single-handedly.
Yeah, well, we sort of have a part in it, too.
A little bit.
So we love them. Anyway... Here are Seth and Stacy from 8-Bit Weapon, and of course, all three of us, Julie and Nate and myself, will be interviewing these two wonderful folks. Are you there, Seth and Stacy?
I am here.
I am here as well. Do you guys feel outnumbered?
We feel okay about it.
Yeah, we're used to being outnumbered.
3-2. That's fair to me. I saw them at E3. It was like 50,000. Well, not that many, but a lot of
people,
too.
A lot of people.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
All right, so is Panty Raid your favorite song? Is that why you sent that song to me? Or
they're all our favorites. We thought maybe the vocal tracks would be more conducive to a radio, though, because we have a lot of instrumentals on our album. So
yeah, I was actually surprised to hear that. I was like, oh, wait, there's voice.
Yeah. Well, you made kind of a big deal today. You're like,
when are you guys going to get into a game? Because obviously this sounds like very appropriate for a game. Have you approached any gaming companies to get your stuff in there?
As such, we've talked to a lot of people in the industry, and they all like the idea, but they all seem to be talking about how the industry is overwhelmingly heading towards buying only top 40 licensable music And until people put us in the top 40, I don't know if we qualify.
So I assume you've played Frequency and Amplitude by Harmonic Studios?
I have not.
All right, so you definitely need to.
That's a more modern game, right?
Yeah, they're both for the PS2. It's like Frequency was the original. Who was it released by? It was released by Sony, published by them, but it was created by Harmonic Studios. They're in Boston. And they actually do Karaoke Revolution as well. But anyway, my point is, they take local Boston bands that they like because, for whatever reason, you know, they like them, and they put them into their game. And so if you convince them that your music was good enough, got them to like you, they could throw you in their game because, you know, licensing fees are a lot smaller for someone like yourself who's less known than, you know, Madonna.
Exactly.
Right.
Putting her music.
Who would you guys say are your musical influences? I'm just curious.
Well, it's pretty dynamic. We both love just about any kind of music as long as it sounds good, right, Stace?
Yeah, actually.
How much polka do you have in your collection?
Polka? Well, I don't know. Not so much polka. I have a lot of tango in my collection, actually. And
tango?
There's a Bay Area band called Primus that I consider to be like psychedelic polka, but...
The Primus that we all know and love, or a different Primus?
Primus, yeah, you know, Big Brown Beaver, My Name is Mud, all the classics.
I never really thought of them as psychedelic polka, but, you know, I'm getting it, okay.
All right.
So, one word, yes or no, Pixies?
No.
Really?
Dude, you're getting shot down.
No one likes this band.
I'm not saying I don't like them. I just don't know anything about them.
All right.
Me and Nate, we were listening to them on the way here, and I didn't realize who it was. I was like, who is this?
Yeah, he was kind of saying, wow, this is all crap
whole time. That's Frank Black's band, right?
Oh, my gosh, you guys are hurting my feelings.
It's not Clint.
Well, I want to know, how did you guys get together? Like, how did you start playing together? How did you start creating music together?
Next question. We met through a mutual friend, and we discovered that we have similar backgrounds and musical tastes and interests. I was already doing 8-Bit Weapon as a solo act, and Stacy is an amazing drummer, and she can play just about any percussion instrument you put in front of her. She also plays cello and dulcimer. So
I do not know what a dulcimer is.
What is a dulcimer, Stacy?
Well, it's kind of like a three-stringed, well, it's got four strings, but two of them are the same note. It's a stringed instrument from the Appalachian Mountains, really.
Okay.
It doesn't really apply to
obviously
our genre right now, but...
Her horizons are broad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stacy, I got to tell you, I play drums as well, and isn't it cool to be able to say that you hit like a girl? I love it. I think that's really cool. I think that's really, really cool.
All right, so you guys started simply because you realized you like the same music?
Well, that and we both love the classic video games as well. It was the kind of thing where we were really good friends, and he was doing what he was doing, and I was doing what I was doing, and we suddenly realized, why aren't we playing together?
You know?
So we just started performing the remixes that we were doing of classic video game tunes, and then just out of our love for it, decided to start writing our own original stuff using the classic consoles, like the original Game Boy and the C64 and stuff like that, because they have that great... classic video game sound, but we enjoy writing our own original music.
All right,
so how can people get a hold of your stuff? Do you have a website or something that you can stream off of?
Yes, indeed. Go straight to 8bitweapon.com. That's the number 8bitweapon, no dashes or anything, .com.
I'll try to make a point to link to it, and in fact, I think we already do link to it
right
now.
I think we do on the website.
Temporarily in our news post.
Speaking of your website, you have some pictures. I was at the website today looking at it. And
are you looking at the 3D rendering of Stacy's body?
Yes. Very nice. Mainly, I kind of want to ask, what was the deal with the boxes? He kind of had the boxes over the head, and I believe maybe a Power Ranger mask.
The Gumby-style blockhead.
Yeah.
Mask.
Don't you know it's hip to be square?
Oh, touche.
So is that just a kitsch thing that you did for a while, or do you do that every show? Because I know you weren't that way at E3.
We've actually never worn boxes on our heads for anything.
That's CGI.
Yeah, that's basically a good Photoshop trick that I learned.
Nate was 100% fooled.
Yeah.
He's like, so they go to all their shows with boxes on their heads.
I was like, how do they see? I was like, is it that mesh where, you know, you can't see in, but you can see out? You know?
Right. Well, maybe one day we'll make them. It was kind of it's for anonymity's sake, let's just say.
Oh, for the web. I understand.
Well, next year at E3, we expect to see boxes.
Get working on boxes. It. They really do. They'll come to us at shows, and they're like, where are the boxes? How come you guys aren't wearing square heads? And we're just like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
We'll try to get the chatter boxes together,
oh,
and
no.
we'll wear them on our heads for E3 as groupies for you. Now, I'm curious. I know at the show that I saw, you had a lot of, I don't know about a lot of video game systems, but like I know you had some like Apple IIe or something. Do you actually use old computers as your instruments?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't discriminate. We use old computers, video game consoles. We just got some brand new 8-bit weapons. We got the Apple IIc synthesizer. A guy figured out how to take digitized sound samples, and you can play them like a piano on an Apple II. And also, we just got our hands on an Apple IIe 8-bit drum sample playback machine.
So is that sort of like a soundboard for the Apple IIe?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very cool.
That's crazy.
I'm trying to convince Nate to put together a soundboard so I can do sound effects on the show.
Kind of learning director right now, so it's
yeah.
Throw
he's,
it together.
He's taking his sweet time.
Yeah.
All right, so computers, your instruments, do you have any more formal instruments aside from the drums, obviously?
Well, it's pretty range. We've got Game Boys, Commodore 64s. Stacy, tell them about the Omnicord.
Oh, well, there is a home instrument. It was created by Suzuki back in the early 80s. It was, it's weird. It's like, there's a more modern version of it out right now called the Q-Chord, but this was the first model called the Omnicord by Suzuki, and it was, basically, it's kind of this weird teardrop shape, and it's got buttons on it so you can play chords, and then it's got this really bizarre metal contact plate that you can strum, almost like an auto harp, but it's like all electronic, and I have a lot of fun with it, actually. It sounds really... like just old school, like analog, and it's real twinkly, and we use it a lot actually in our live shows and some of our newer songs.
I want to see you guys' studio. I bet it's overwhelming.
It
well,
is. It's
it
actually
looks like
a fire hazard.
Factory. There's lots of power cords everywhere.
All right, guys, we got to go to break, so I'm going to play a little bit more of another one of your songs. Here it goes, and we'll be right back in a few minutes after the news.
Thanks.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
That's beautiful. So that's more of 8-bit weapon. That's their arcade song. I mean, it's titled Arcade, in case that wasn't clear enough. So this is still Chatterbox, video game radio, and I want to let you know that you can call us and talk to Seth and Stacy yourselves. Also talk to Julie and Nate and myself, you know, because we're here for you guys. 866-536-1100 is the number you need to call. Toll free anywhere in the U.S. And if you're in Phoenix, 602-277-KFNX. Give us a call. Otherwise, we're going to be talking to them. All right. So I do have a few more questions. Maybe these are too traditional, you know, considering the lines of questions we've been asking so far. But I'm just sort of curious, like, if either of you has a role that's different from the other one, if there's, like, a songwriter and one is the musical. Well, I guess you're both musical. But do either of you have more specific roles than another?
No, I think we share everything. We don't have a set way of doing anything. We just do whatever works at the time. Right, Stace?
Yeah. I mean, we both write songs. Sometimes we write songs separately, sometimes we write together, and I mean, we always incorporate each other in all the performances. I mean, I don't know, obviously I play the drums, he's primarily keyboards, or, you know, Commodores, and but I mean, we both now sing, and I think we both kind of do a little bit of everything.
We did have a ritual that actually helped us get Vaporware soundtracks done. A friend suggested that we get together once a week and try and commit to writing a new song, at least one good song a month, and then by the end of the year, you'll have a whole album. And that turned out to work really nicely. We started writing Vaporware soundtracks February of 04, and we had like 15 tracks by December. And then we just spent about 4 months recording it from about February till July, I think.
So has this paid off for you guys? Have you, you know, done some shows and made a little loot at the same time?
Well, we've done some shows, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the loot.
Yeah, I used to be in a band. I know how that goes. It takes a little time.
Yeah, especially playing in L.A. No one gets paid to play in L.A. People pay to play in L.A., and that's retarded.
Where's your favorite place to play in L.A.?
It used to be Microwave, which was a monthly micro music event that we put on. I don't know. Do you know, Stacey?
Well, it's hard to say. I like playing in the art galleries.
Oh, yeah, like Hangar 1018. That was one of my favorites.
I think one of my favorite things has to be not a specific venue, but whenever somebody throws a club or a themed party that's like, you know, classic video game themed or 80s themed, because obviously people are there for that, and, you know, definitely a better audience to perform for. They appreciate it more, and they're looking forward to it and stuff, you know. Because, I mean, you can go in and play any old club, and people are kind of like, what the heck is this, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So,
I do want to make the point that when I was at E3 and I saw these guys, like, I was immediately drawn. I don't put people on the show that I think are crap. Like, I get to book whoever I want. And, like, I thought they were really great. It's like, what the hell is that? Because I just happened to be in the hall at the time, and I was like, that's awesome.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I had a couple of friends with us. Like, that's freaking great. And I wanted to get a hold of you because you were giving out CDs. I'm like, I need one of those CDs.
Yeah.
And I didn't
Did you
get one.
One.
No, I didn't. But I convinced you to send me some MP3s, so that's almost as good.
Well, we just redid our website at 8bitweapon.com, and you can download whole songs now of our remixes.
The ones that we're not allowed to sell.
Oh yeah, the old school ones.
Yeah. The remixes, since they're other people's material, we obviously won't be trying to sell them, but people seem to like them quite a bit, so we just put them up, and we'll be cycling through them every month, a bunch of new remixes out of our catalog.
Have you had any companies breathe down your neck about what you did in the past?
No. In fact, when I originally wanted to release a CD of remixes, we contacted big companies, and they basically said, your operation is so small that we don't want to take the time to look and see if we have the license to tell you no. So just assume it's no, and don't do anything.
That's classic.
It would cost more. Go after them.
Yeah.
I don't want to bother even scratching that itch.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Gotta love the big company.
It's a real ego booster.
This might be a self-explanatory question, but is there any story behind your name, 8-Bit Weapon? Or I would assume, you know, just
It almost explains itself. 8-Bit is obviously the tone generators are all pretty much 8-Bit. We do use a lot of analog synthesizers and stuff to fill in the gaps, but we wanted something that would really set us apart, because the micro music scene is actually a global scene, and it's really kind of bubbling up from the underground. But we wanted something different. We needed a weapon against all the other 8-bit bands. So we have the 8-bit weapon.
All right. So that leads into a similar question. Well, a different question for me. I'm wondering, like, I mean, traditional bands can just, like, set up a jam session and go at it, whether or not they're playing a song or whatever. Mm-hmm. With your instruments, are you able to just jam?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only one that's not super jam-friendly is the Game Boy, because it's a tracker system, if you guys are familiar with that format of sequencing.
I did have a friend who used the Game Boy to create music. I never really played with it very much.
Yeah, there's not really a live element other than activating, deactivating loops you've pre-programmed or programmed on the fly. But all the other instruments, the game, or the Nintendo, the Atari 2600, the Commodores, even the Apple IIs, those you can play live and adjust in real time.
And what do you use for the Nintendo to play live?
There's a new cart that's out in the market that's the NES cart. And it lets you play all five channels and assign all five channels to different MIDI channels. So you get, I guess, two of synth channels, that really awesome NES bass channel like from Metroid. And then there's a noise channel, and then there's an actual wave channel that they dump tons of, I think, 4-bit drum samples into that you can sequence. So it's pretty cool.
Did you ever get your hands on that piano peripheral for the Nintendo?
Oh, the Miracle?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
That's kind of tricky because it's not actually playing the NES music. You sequence and learn how to play the piano with the NES, but the sounds come from the Miracle keyboard itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was kind of disheartened with that, too.
So have you rigged up anything to the Nintendo to make it more visually stimulating? Like you get the Power Glove and start playing music with the Power Glove, just holding it, stepping on the power pad or something?
Someone made, I think, a Power Glove. Stacey, were you the one telling me about someone did a MIDI Power Glove controller?
That wasn't me.
Okay. One of my other women.
What?
No.
I don't know. Well, the program, the cart that you can control the sound card with also has a visual element, but it's like you can actually see stuff, patterns and stuff happening on the screen.
Yeah.
So that adds a little bit of visual. And there's other bands that we've seen that wear a Power Glove while they're playing, but they're not using it for anything. It's just sort of that nostalgia, like, yeah, we like Nintendo, you know?
Yeah, no, it'd be way cooler if you were playing music with it.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got a caller. Was it Sean or John, Andrew? John from Vegas. I think he's actually called before. Let's put him on. John, are you there?
Hi.
Hey, John.
You have a question for Seth and Stacy?
Oh, no. Actually, I guess I actually called in for the D&D contest.
Oh, nobody
early,
told
man.
Me
You're
about
early.
That.
I could ask them a question, but I don't have any.
Okay, well, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay.
Back to hold.
We'll be back on the next segment.
Thanks for the help, Andrew. It's just like, hey. Hey, John from Vegas is on the line.
I was wondering, it's like, is it maybe for the D&D stuff?
I don't know. Nobody tells me these things. All right, well, we've got a couple minutes left.
Well, can I ask you guys a question?
Oh, go for it,
yeah.
All right. Well, I know Julie was talking about that she likes some of the classic stuff like Tetris, and I was just curious, what classic video games do you guys like the best? Because we mostly play the classic stuff on the C64 and the NES and everything. What was, like, your first system, and what are your favorite old games?
Kari Warriors. Don't even have to think about it.
Really? I had an Atari like a lot of other people, but I didn't get really into it until the Nintendo when I felt like it was really mine. And when I think back to Nintendo games, Solomon's Key is one of my solid favorites.
Really?
Yeah, which of course was in the arcade before it was on Nintendo, but played it a lot on Nintendo. Did you not play that game?
I remember seeing it everywhere in bins, especially recently.
Oh, see, it's crazy. It's $4.
The game was like a side-scroller and everything was big boxes.
No, it was not a side-scroller. Every screen was static, but it was definitely boxes. You're a little wizard. You create boxes. You disintegrate boxes. But
okay,
it's all
I'm
very,
thinking of something else.
It's puzzle-ish. There was a sequel, which was crap, and I can't remember the name of it. Fire and Ice, perhaps, was the sequel. You definitely need to play it, especially if you can pick it up in one of those bins for $4. If you have to emulate it, go for it. Honestly, some of the music was good. I don't remember if I loved it for the music, but... the game was fantastic. And I wish that I had the chance to play the dance aerobics game, because I'm now super into DDR and have been for like the last 6 years. And I
love that, because I like to envision you, Alon, like at home on the pad, getting down. I just have this visual, all right?
When we were in San Diego, we should have done it. I keep thinking, like, I have to break it out, because I need to tone up my legs a little bit,
Okay.
And I got a projector recently, so I can sit in front of my giant or stand in front of my giant wall.
Actually,
I gotta know though. Do you get way into it? Are you like using the elbows and the knees?
I don't do the upper body dancing. I'm much more of a technical player. But when I first got it in '99, my girlfriend at the time would come home to me sweating profusely, standing just in boxers playing this game.
Actually, a little frightened today when I came over to your house to do it for the show.
And
you had one more
boxers?
Time,
yeah.
You know, booming out of the door. I was like, oh man, he's like naked doing the DDR thing. And you're like, come on in. I was like, I don't want to come on in.
Okay, you guys are too close. You're just too close. Yeah.
So what are your favorites, Seth and Stacey?
Well, mine for the Commodore 64, I think, is a toss-up between Wasteland and Bard's Tale 3. And for NES, it's Metroid.
Man.
What Wasteland? You mean the tactical kind of
Wasteland
game?
Wasteland was probably, historically speaking on the net, most people say is the greatest post-nuke role-playing game ever made. It was
yeah,
because
you actually got like a sheet and you had to read stuff. Because the text wasn't big enough. And you could read the front page, and it would say, like, you're going to go up to a lady's house, and you see her naked, and say, hey, you shouldn't be reading this.
Exactly. That's the one.
Yes, very good game.
You quickly peer into the window, and you see a girl, scantily clad, and she's holding up a sign, and it reads, you shouldn't be reading paragraphs before you're asked to.
Exactly.
All right, guys. So we only have about 30 seconds left. I'm going to take this time to thank you very much for coming onto the show. I'm sorry that John didn't have a question for you. He fooled us all.
Actually, I want to come in. September 10th. At the Kwon Brothers Grand Star, 8-Bit Weapon will be there at 9 till question mark.
That was yesterday, dude.
Was it yesterday?
But we are playing the Clash of the Tetris the 28th of this month, and our new limited edition Vaporware soundtracks in a 5 1/4-inch disc.
Wow.
It's still available. We only have 200 copies left.
All right, well, you can check out 8bitweapon.com for all the info about them. And I have to say, I don't have that link on the website. I'm going to put it there. We got to go to break. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
It's past the 10th. Days are blending together.
Hackers. They're everywhere. And I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technologies graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Holy crap. Well, I'd heard about that, but indicted means he's guilty.
Are you talking to me, Julie?
Oh, I'm sorry, no.
What's up? On the air right now, and we're having
How's
a conversation.
How's it going? I was just reading, you know, when I was reading about, you know, Richard Hatch from Survivor?
Yeah.
Apparently he's been indicted with tax fraud. I'm sure you heard about that. So has nothing to do with gaming, but it's a big fat guy that's going to probably go to prison. So that's
pretty
funny. Well,
we do now have a link to reality television with you on the show.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's true. So it's kind of connected.
So we
anyway,
are now,
we're back. Welcome back to the show. How's
thank
it going
you so much for the intro.
Yes.
We are listening to Skate, a track from the Vaporware soundtrack that they kept mentioning, Seth and Stacey from 8-Bit Weapon. I'm going to thank them once again so much for being on the show. But we're going to move on right now and try to get to our D&D giveaway. What I did not do was ask the questions ahead of time so that people know what to answer. Julie, you need to turn that sound down. TV. All right.
I'm just going to bring a boombox in here.
All right, so I'm going to ask a couple questions before we bring these people on. Hopefully they'll know. So Turbine makes D&D Online, Dungeons & Dragons Online, and that's what we're going to be giving away, beta slots to Dungeons & Dragons Online. And I want to know the name of their very popular game, which is in its currently in its fifth year of creating compelling and ongoing storyline. And I actually think that they're going to be turning the servers off for this game. Or not creating new content or something. But you guys definitely will know what this game is called. It's a very popular MMO in its fifth year. I'm going to bring John from Vegas. Hopefully he can answer this question. If not, I just don't know what I'm going to be able to do. John, are you there?
Hello.
I'm here.
All right. Did you hear my question, John?
No, actually I didn't.
All right, well, here's my question for you. Turbine, they make this D&D online game, right?
Okay.
Okay. They make another very popular MMO game that it's in its fifth year of creating compelling ongoing storyline for MMO players. Do you know what the name of that game is?
I should know the game of it.
The initials are AC. MMO, very popular, one of the first MMOs to catch on fire.
AB?
AC.
AC.
AC, like air conditioning, but not air conditioning.
Oh, okay, AC.
Keep thinking. I know you're going to get it.
Asheron's Call.
Asheron's Call.
There you go.
Was that MMO?
Wasn't it MMO? It was online.
It was not MMO, from what I understand, unless it's been taken down at some point.
Dude, you're busting me.
But when I was
you're
playing it, it was not MMO.
You're busting a hunt job. I love it.
You're totally busting me. Just pretend. For a second.
Okay, I'll pretend it was MMO for a beta slot.
I'm giving you free stuff. No, I might have confused MMO with online. It's definitely an online game, or Asheron's Call 2 or something.
The only MMO I actually played extensively was EVE Online.
All right, well, tell me you're going to play Dungeons & Dragons online.
Well, obviously.
All right, I hope you're a big fan
of
Dungeons & Dragons. So here's what I want you to do. Talk to Andrew. I'm going to put you on hold here. He's going to give you a secret code word, and then you just email that to me, and I will get you your prize, your beta slot. This is fantastic. We have a couple other callers on the line. Wow, do we have two or three? We have a lot. Anyway, so thank you very much, John. Now we're going to move on to the next person. I'm going to ask you guys, where is Turbine located? What state is the headquarters for Turbine located? You know, you're probably in front of the computer right now. Jump on there.
Totally look it up.
Go on the internet. You can find it on Turbine's website. What state are they headquartered in? Who's this?
Hi, this is John.
Oh, still John. All right, I don't want to talk to you, John. I'm going to put you back on hold. Next person.
Really has a...
What mean?
Oh, my God. I'm canceling people with this phone. Andrew, you do it.
We're like...
All right, we have Eric.
Technologically retarded.
Yo,
you see what
happens? I press a button, and then he presses the button, and it hangs up on him. All right, do we have Eric on the line? Anybody?
Is anyone out there?
Hi.
Hey,
hey,
there you
how's
are,
it
buddy.
Going?
Good, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Did you hear my question? I asked where Turbine is located.
Yeah. To their headquarters or their L.A. location?
Headquarters. What state is their headquarters in? It's one of the first 13 colonies. It is the only state in the Union to allow gay marriage at this point.
Sorry, this phone is kind of horrid, so it's hard to hear you. I'm going to assume that it's Massachusetts.
Kick
oh,
ass.
Oh, that would be right.
You are absolutely correct. Turbine.
Yay. Ding, 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 ding.
Turbine is headquartered in Massachusetts. I'm going to get you a beta slot for knowing that incredibly easy question.
I love you all.
Thank you so much. Is this something you've wanted for a long time?
I've been following the game for a very, very long time.
That's what I want. I want fans to call
super
in.
Super fans.
And love this.
Can totally give them stuff.
All right, so stay on the line and talk to Andrew. And sure. He will give you some sort of secret code word that he'll make up on the spot. And then you email that to me, and I will email you the code to get into the beta of Dungeons & Dragons Online. And by the way, listen to our shows in the future, too.
Yeah, have to just listen because we're giving away stuff.
Yeah, that'll make me happy.
Yeah.
All right, now here's what I'm going to do. I also want to give away two to podcast listeners. Now, podcast listeners are not listening right now because they don't listen live. They listen to recordings of our show. Yep. But when they hear my voice, it'll be like it's live. So here's what I'm going to do. I want you to tell me who the lead designer of Dungeons & Dragons Online is. All you have to do is email me that information. Who's the lead designer? Include your name. Include your telephone number, because we're going to call you
on the
air. Next week's show on the air, and you have to answer the phone, or at least be ready to talk to us on the phone if you want to win. And I also want you to include in that email exactly how long our podcast is, like to the second, so that I can know you are listening via podcast. Didn't just listen to this
very,
live.
Very technical.
All right, so who's the lead designer of Dungeons & Dragons Online? Include your name, your telephone number, and the length of the podcast you're listening to right now. And then we will call you during next week's show if you got the answer right and you were randomly selected as a winner. And you will get one of two beta slots to Dungeons & Dragons Online. Oh, wow.
Oh, we got the Adams from Canada.
And we have the Canada Adams on the line, presumably to talk about something else. I hope they don't want D&D slots.
All
right, so hopefully everybody who's podcasting knows how to call in and win these slots, and we will be calling you next week. So thank you very much. Let's bring on one of the Adams. I'll try not to hang up on him this time. I'm going to leave it up to you, Andrew.
Adam, are you there?
Hello?
All right, it's totally up to me. We have both Adams on.
Both
What's
Adam.
Up, Adams? Anybody?
Hello? Hey.
Oh, my God. Least
Adam.
Professional show
hey,
ever.
How's it going, guys and girl?
Right on. Everything's going really well. What can we do for you?
Oh, I just had to call in. this is one of the albums that works at EB.
Yes.
I have to say one thing to Julie.
Sure.
That's a big joke going around EB about the flat-out interview she was doing. And it's one thing I'm supposed to say.
Oh, all right. No.
It's appropriate, I suppose.
All right. Well, we can always turn you off if it's not. What is your question about the flat-out interview that Julie did?
No. She said that. And it's a huge joke around EB because it's just really funny to watch. Because we have a promo tape that plays.
Yeah.
And she always says it. And I'm supposed to call in and say it.
You know what? I'm not understanding a word he's saying. So can someone translate?
Dude, I can't even follow it either. Adams?
I'm not.
I'll tell
you
what.
From Minnesota. I should be able to pick on what they're saying. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Canada. Maybe it's like a hard accent or something.
These two Adams are like our super fans, the Chatterboxer super fans. But I don't know what he's trying to say. I guess there's an interview with you that
you're
plays
saying
in the,
something
in the EB
very
that
humorous.
They work at.
Yeah, yeah. At EB, there's a loop tape that plays of Electric Playground stuff.
Yeah.
And she's on there doing an interview about Flat Out.
Now, why is that a joke?
Because
about Flat Out?
There's one part and she says, it's appropriate, I suppose. And everybody laughs at it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I remember this interview. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Flat Out, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay, and we were talking about the rating system or something.
Yeah, for sure. And
that was a funny.
And you're like,
interview.
Oh, it's appropriate.
Yeah,
I suppose.
It's like an offensive joke, by the way. It's just.
Well, I am really glad that actually is something that you guys watch over there and enjoy.
Well, yeah, we have to play, and every time it's on, me and Adam are like, yeah, we always get a phone in and talk to that person. They're just like, yeah, right.
Well, kick
that's
ass.
Awesome.
You guys got to talk to a bona fide celebrity.
Yeah, I
and,
know.
And his name is Nate Vig.
Apparently, I'm very
cool.
Famous.
Well, just keep watching Electric Playground, dude. That's rad. I'm happy to hear that.
Good.
All right. Thank you very much, guys, for calling in. I hope the podcast people email me. We're going to go in just a second. I didn't get to update people on our Katrina relief effort that we talked about last week.
Oh, yeah.
But in real short, we're stuck in red tape, and it sort of sucks because we may not be able to do it. But someone from Microsoft has offered like 55 video game systems, not even exaggerating.
We're going to get contact with some people from Best
so,
Buy if this thing can happen.
Yeah. Even if we don't do this in Phoenix, hopefully we'll be able to get those literally 55 video game systems out to other people. We got to go. Be back next week, everybody.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.